Hello and welcome. My name is Dave Izbitsky. I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft, helping developers submit apps to the store. On this episode of Dev Radio, I'm going to go over the World of Warcraft API Starter Kit. Now, this is a starter kit that's part of an API Mesh project up on GitHub. You can get to this kit through my blog. If you look at the most recent entry, you'll see it right down here. You can click on Starter Kits. You can click right here and you can go through all the information about the kit, what you'll need, what the code is, or you can go to the top right. All of the starter kits I write are always up in under the My Starter Kits section. So let's go ahead and click on API Mesh GitHub and look at the full code branch. And what you're going to see here is your typical GitHub repository. We can scroll down. We're going to get information about all of the kits. And if we come down here to the World of Warcraft for Windows 8 link, you'll see all sorts of information of how to get started and download that app. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the top here. I'm going to click zip. You'll see I'm going to get starterkits.master.zip. We're going to go ahead and say save. And once that package is downloaded, you can just go ahead and unzip it. What I've done here is I've unzipped it into the root in order to save time. So if we come up here to Start Kits Master, you're going to see a folder that has everything that you just saw in that GitHub repository. I'm going to click on the Windows Starter Kits, and I'm going to work my way over to API Mesh World of Warcraft Starter Kit. Now, this kit is meant for beginners. It has an entire app framework around it that's going to include an app bar. It's going to include a settings panel. It'll have things like app icons. It also does networking calls, and it'll bind to a list view. So if you've looked through the SDK samples, if you've looked around the web, and you wanted a little bit extra of how to get started, but you weren't ready to go in fully deep into the code, this is going to be a great place for you to start. And so if we open this up, you'll see what a sample image will look like. And because we're using a WinJS control called ViewBox, you'll notice that all of the elements on the screen are actually scaling up as well. And that's a common thing I've seen with developers is I want to target a standard resolution, and then I just want it to work on everything. So what I've done in this kit is I've targeted the Surface RT resolution, so 1366 by 768, and then we've just used the ViewBox control to scale that up great. So if I come down here, you'll see the WoW API Starter Kit is already installed on my local PC. And if I run this, you'll see even though I'm on 1920 by 1080 resolution, all of those squares look exactly the same. So I'm keeping all of my UI layout regardless of what type of screen resolution I'm working on. If I right-click, you'll see I have a sample app bar. I can come down here and I can pick different languages. Now, these languages are using a flyout control, and if I hit save, the English-US will save the language that will come across in these networking calls. That will be stored in roaming profiles. So regardless of what computer I've installed this kit on, my language will actually follow me around. And I'll show you what that looks like in code in a little bit. If I come over to settings, you'll see I also have a settings panel now. So I have both a privacy policy and an about screen. And this about screen, if I go ahead and I hit one of these entries, will go out to the web and go directly to the kit. So you can see there's a full shell, and there are networking calls, and there's an app bar. It scales up to different screen resolutions, and it has a settings panel. So you can look at this project as a great way to start out with your own app. So let's go ahead and dive into the code. We're going to go into the WoW API folder, and I'm going to open the solutions folder. Now, if you don't have Visual Studio installed, you can get Visual Studio for free. So there's a Visual Studio Express edition just for Windows Store apps. You'll find links to that on my blog as well as dev.windows.com. So the same place where you would register to submit Windows Store apps, you'll be able to go ahead and download this same exact tool. What I'm doing here is I'm using the ultimate version of Visual Studio, but the Express version will work just as well with all of this. Now, inside this kit, we are kind of using the MVC model from the web for WinJS development. And WinJS, if you don't know, is the Windows library for JavaScript. So this is how we're going to write Windows Store apps using HTML and JavaScript. And what you can see, I've got my CSS in a folder, I've got my HTML in a folder, I've got images, and then I've got my JavaScript. So if we go ahead and we open the default.html page, what you're going to see here, when I first come in, I'm using a WinJS control called Page Control Navigator. And so we're going to go directly to home.html under Pages Home. And that's what this Pages folder is over here. I've got a home page and I've got a realm status page. So page controls are a great way to go ahead and navigate around inside your Windows Store app. If you've used ASP.NET MVC or any of the newer web frameworks, you're probably going to be right at home with how we've set this up. So each area of the app, so our home page or our realm status page, is going to have its CSS, HTML, and JavaScript files in each folder. So if I wanted to add functionality to this app, I would simply right-click, I would say Add New Item, and I have a page control here, and that's what we've done as we've created this kit. So very easy to go ahead and extend functionality. Before we jump into home, let's just look at the remainder of what's in the default here, and you'll see this is the flyout control for language. So just a standard WinJS control. It's got winjs.ui.flyout. I'm selecting my languages here. So US, Spanish, or Portuguese. Now these aren't some random chosen languages that I did for the kit. These are actually the supported languages from the API that we will call. And I'll go over that API in 1 second when we get to the wowapi.js file. But for now, let's just go ahead and look at what we have in the bottom of the page. And you'll notice this is where our app bar comes across. So I have winjsui.appbar. And we have a single command in there for the world. You can see this is how we're going to select our language. And this was the button where the flyout appeared when we looked at the US language. So if we move over, we're going to see home.html. This is just standard HTML. You can see, in fact, it's HTML5. We've got doc type HTML at the top. We're doing the includes for our JS and our CSS. And I'm going to say this is the World of Warcraft API kit. So if we go back up, this is what the home page looks like. So you can see World of Warcraft API kit, and I've got a single button. You can feel free to add additional buttons here if you want to go ahead and add additional functionality to the API. Currently, the single API call I have wrapped is realm status. So if I was to click realm status, you'll see here, this is where we're going out and finding all of the different statuses for the current servers. And then at the bottom, I have the button for realm status. So when we click on this realm status button, we're going to do WinJS navigation navigate, and we're going to go right to realmstatus.html. So let's go ahead and open that up. Now this is where most of the magic happens. If we were going to go ahead and create our own app and we wanted to add functionality from network calls, you could go ahead and follow this exactly here, where we're going to go ahead and set up a template, and then we're going to have a list view. This template is going to tell the list view how we want it to look, and then this list view is the actual control where we're going to bind the data. So what you can see up here at the top, I have data converters. I'm going to show you what that looks like in a minute, where I'm going to take the background color and I'm going to set it to red or green based on this status call to realm status, and that's going to be found under WoW API. So all of the functionality that we're going to use today is in this single wowapi.js file that you'll see. And then I also have a header name. So you can see I'm going to go ahead and bind the color to the WoW API realm status color that you're seeing over here, as well as the inner text status to the status text. So this is all just straight up HTML that's using WinJS controls to create a style for our list view. If we come into realmstatus.cs, You'll see I'm setting the height and the width of my table cells, as well as the color for the header name. So nothing too fancy in there, pretty easy to follow. And if we come down to the JavaScript file, you'll see this will be pretty straightforward because all of our functionality we're going to encapsulate in WoW API. So because we've created this namespace, I have the ability to just say WoW API dot get realm status all, and then this function is going to take a language. Remember, we set US language. So underneath app.sessionStateLocale, we're going to tell that API call what kind of language. So a single argument. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to get a realm list, and this is going to be a new binding list. If you have not done data binding yet with a list view control, it's as easy as setting up a binding list object, and I'm going to fill that with realms, and then realms list, this binding list object, is actually what we're going to use as the data source for the list view. The way that we get the list view here is we're going to use a query selector. So if you've used jQuery, this is very similar. Okay, I'm going to do document.query selector, and I'm going to look for servers. Servers, we're going to have the win control of that div tag. So if we come back over here, you'll see that servers is in fact a div, and it has a win.js control over here. If you forget to do win control, you're going to actually get a reference for the div tag versus the actual win.js control inside it. So we get the list view, we set its data source, and then our last thing is to set that template. And you'll remember the template we called up here, server template. So taking the list view, binding its data is as simple as setting the data source, and then creating what it looks like is as simple as setting the template to server template. And that's how easy it is to data bind to that list view. The last piece that we're actually setting here is the share title. So one of the things that you may want to do inside of your Windows Store app is the ability to share information out. And so we have a variable for what we want to call the text that we share out, and we call it app session state share title. And I'm saying realm status for the win here. So to show you that in action, if I come up and I go over to my charms panel and I say share, I can go ahead and share this out to Twitter. And you'll see right here, by default, it's going to share out the link to the starter kit. I've given you the ability inside the code to go ahead and change that at any point that you want, and it'll move to this new text. So let's go ahead and move over to wowapi.js. And we're using a namespace. So if you haven't seen this before, this is a great way when you're creating your own functionality for WinJS apps to make sure that you wrap everything and encapsulate it in a namespace. So when I did WoW API dot, which you can see over here, WoW API dot get realm status all, this namespace define function is what enables that. So we're going to have the following functions as part of that namespace. So we've got realm status to color. This was the data converter that will actually take a status of the server. And depending on if that returns true, we will return green as a string. Otherwise, we will return red as a string. We can also choose to do that with text versus color. So I return up or down. And then you're going to see a check locale functionality. This is using jQuery here. So if you're familiar with jQuery, which I know most developers are that are programming in HTML and JavaScript, we have the jQuery 2.0 file. And so this is a function to look in the array to check for our locale. And then the get realm status all function we called. These are created as WinJS promises. So you have to remember when you're doing networking calls that your networking calls are asynchronous. They may not return data right away. So by wrapping this in a promise, we have the ability to go ahead and call those. If we come back over here, and you'll see I have a dot then. So I'm going to say go ahead and do this, but don't block the UI thread. I only want to go ahead and update the list view when that data comes back, and that's why you see a dot then. That is the actual syntax for using a JavaScript promise. So we've defined this JavaScript promise. We're going to come in here and make sure that our locale is set up correctly, and if we don't have one, we're going to set it to be English as a default. And then we're going to do an XHR call. So we're using the winjs.xhr. We're sending it a URL. So you can see this is the API call to the World of Warcraft servers. We're going to pass in that locale, and the response type that we're going to get is JSON. So when I get that response, I have a function here where I'm going to take JSON, I'm going to parse the response text, and then I'm going to send a complete. And you can see here we've declared complete. So basically what will come back is this JSON.realms. And this will be an array that we can go ahead and bind to a binding list. If we come back over here to WoW API, you'll also see an additional function for going in and getting realm status. This will allow the same functionality that you see with all of the realms, but you'll only get back a single square. So if I was to do something in here, and I've listed all of this out, and I've commented all of this out. So if I move this up on comment this one and comment this one, and we now run this, you'll see we only have one server that's up currently. So this is just showing you how you can wrap calls using WinJS promises to all of the different API functions that are available for you. Tyrannus happens to be the server I play World of Warcraft on, and as you can see, the timing of this recording is great because today is Patch Tuesday, as everybody knows, when there's a patch update for the World of Warcraft server, so it's actually down my server currently. If we go back here and we change this call, we should see some of the servers are probably already coming up. And you can see we have a mixture of both green and red. So some of these servers are already online. And for those of you who don't play World of Warcraft, you can check out worldofwarcraft.com. It's an online MMORPG, and you can see, in fact, the same realm status that they're providing in their API is also available on their site. So you can see we've got the same green and red here, and this matches exactly with the green and red that we have over here in our own app. So we've got a working app. We've got a settings panel with both a privacy control and an about page. We've got an app bar, and we're now doing networking calls. The last piece of this that we want to look at is the roaming profiles. So if I come back over here, in my default.js file, you'll notice I have a shortcut set up for WinJS application, so we're looking at app. And I'm going to add an event listener at the application level for activated. Now, if you're doing file new project, it's going to automatically add this for you. So there shouldn't be anything scary here. The only thing we're looking for is to see how our app was activated. So remember, Windows Store apps can launch through contracts. They can be launched from a live tile. They can be sent in information. So what I'm checking to see is if my previous state was not terminated, meaning I was in the background and I had been suspended, we're going to go through and we're going to look for those roaming settings. And those roaming settings happen to be the locale. Remember, the language we set was the US language. So you can feel free to copy-paste this type of code in your own apps. Using roaming settings is as easy as calling into app data roaming settings. And we're going to set some key value pairs. So you can see here, what I'm doing is pulling the locale and then I'm bringing it back into a local variable. I'm doing the same for both the share title and the share message so that when I use my share contract, I'm going to be able to save that across all of my apps. If we scroll down a little more, you'll see our checkpoint function. So app.onCheckpoint runs periodically. And anything that we want to store in session state, we're going to do here. So you can see history, locale, share title. This will mean that your app is going to move into the suspended status, and then when we come back, rather than having to go to disk, app.sessionState will immediately pull that up from memory. So if you've not done anything around lifecycle for Windows Store apps, just know that when an app goes into suspended status, which happens when your app is not viewable, where basically a user cannot interact with it for more than 10 seconds, we're going to store variables in memory, so your app's in memory, but all of your threads are paused. So this will come back from memory. Roaming settings will actually get put to disk. And then down here you can see our share contract. So I've got some event listeners for the UI on the page, but I've also got my data transfer manager. This is how easy it is to create both a settings panel and an about. So if you're looking to do that in your own apps, you can go ahead and you just simply add HTML pages here. You can see I'm pointing to about and privacy, but these pages could very easily come from the web. So you could have an iframe and you can pull information up here from the web. And in fact, there's one additional kit, if we come down here. If you're looking for how to do that in an iframe, there's also the Win8 Game Kit. So if you go to win8gamekit.codeplex.com, or if you forget that URL, you'll see this on my blog. This is a casual game for Windows Store. It's written with HTML and JavaScript, and what I do inside of here is I use an iframe for my settings information too. So very easy to get started using a settings panel and setting up your privacy and your about page. The last bit of this is just UI code to go ahead and show what's checked and what's not. So if you were looking at, if we come up over here, and I right click, if you were looking how to do this so that you have a single item that you can go ahead and check off, and so maybe I want Spanish, and if I hit save and I come back to language, you'll see that's going to always be selected. All that code is down here at the bottom. So I have both show locales and update locales, as well as the share text down here for actually sharing that out for our contract. And that is basically it. Now through this kit, we simply download it, and within 10 minutes we have a working app where we can wrap API calls, we have an app bar, we have icons, we have settings panels, we have the ability to use share contracts, and we have the ability to use custom flyout controls with multiple items that we can select. So to get the starter kit, make sure you come over here. The URL was github.com/api-mash. You'll see starter kits. This is where you can get all of the starter kits, including the one I showed today. If you're interested in additional starter kits, you can go to my blog, davedev.net. And up at the top, I have my starter kits. So I have both the World of Warcraft API starter kit, I've got a starter kit for the Windows 8 game kit that we showed, as well as starter kits for phone, XNA, and using Bing search on top of phone. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Dev Radio, and I look forward to seeing your apps in the Windows Store.